Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Shalom. I just want to thank those of you who have joined us this morning, not just those here in the sanctuary, but also those who are tuning in on iChurch in English and in Spanish. We thank you for joining us this morning. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, there's an area in the top right of your screen where you can let us know. We've been talking about the power, the glory, the anointing. The reason why we have to talk about these things is because we're going into the essence of Yahweh, who he is. What better way to know who you are than to first know who he is? He is, just his presence is awesome. Just what we haven't even got to him yet, just what comes off of him. Can you imagine? The essence of him, the presence of him. And so his glory is manifested in us, and he allows his glory to be manifested through us. But you need to know how great he is first, so you can shine forth his glory. And so we're talking about his atmosphere. We're reminded of some things. And bottom line is this: his heavenly nature needs to be experienced here on earth. Amen. Amen. We don't have to wait until we go to glory to experience glory. See, that's the beauty. Every time I experience him, I am thankful. I am grateful that he had enough love and mercy and grace to save a wretch like me. Does anybody feel the same way to me? I mean, I'm just saying that he didn't have to do it. So every time I experience his presence, I'm humble. And his heavenly nature needs to be seen here on earth. Basically this, we're bringing some of heaven down on earth. I don't know about you. I don't want to wait until I get to glory to experience glory. I can experience his glory right now. I can experience his glory when I call on his name. I can experience his glory when I lift up my hands and I pray. And so this is what we're trying to bring across to you. Go to Habakkuk. Say Habakkuk. It's in the Old Testament. And it's the second chapter. And for people to be able to experience Yahweh, you need to understand how to experience. And then it's when you experience him, it's going to be demonstrated in the earth. And so Habakkuk, the second chapter, the 14th verse. With the time that I have, if you got it, say, I got it. It says, for the earth shall be filled. Didn't say the heaven. The heavens is already filled. But it said the earth shall be what? Filled with the knowledge of the glory. How do you obtain the knowledge of the glory? We need to talk about it like we're doing. We need to read about it. We need to experience it. And this, the knowledge, the yada, that comes, the Hebrew word yada, that comes from experience. And we're building on that knowledge. And so it says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. And anytime you hear about the waters covering the sea, it's talking about the people. Say the people. So who's going to experience it? We are, but the people of the earth are going to see his divine people, and they're going to experience the glory through us, right? So that means it's going to be something that's observable. Say observable. Observable. Means you can see it. Are you saying that I can see the glory on other? Yes. You can. People will be able to see his glory through you.
Amen.
How does that happen? Well, you know, have you ever come across somebody and you get a whiff of what they got on that morning? Maybe they got some Brave Bull on or some Old Spice. I'm just saying. I'm dating myself. Give me something new. Y'all don't smell good? Giorgio Armani, ladies? White Diamonds? What'd you say? You know, but you, when you catch that scent, if you know the scent, you, oh, that's nice. It's observable. You can, through the sensory method of smelling, you can observe it. You're experiencing it. Ooh, that smell like flowers. That smell like lavender. Well, the glory on your life is something that people, wow, there's something about that person. It's something about their smile. It's something about their calmness. And they shouldn't, looking at the circumstances, they shouldn't always be like that. But then if you're demonstrating the glory, no matter what is going on in your life, you are still at peace. You are still in shalom. You are still glad about your God that you serve. You still got some joy. People can what? Sense it? See, and they say, I can't put my finger on it. But there is something about you. If you're a believer, you should be experiencing that. Meaning that people should, if you're really walking, if you're really demonstrating, if you're really centered, people sense it. Now, you know, if you're outside of that and ain't nobody saying nothing to you, well, I don't know about you, but I want his glory demonstrated. And so when we go here, let's go to Romans. Hallelujah. And so, Romans 8th chapter. So we have something beautiful inside. We have these imperfect bodies, but we have these perfect spirits. His Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. So Romans, the 8th chapter, the 16th verse. If you got it, say, I got it. So I love this. The Spirit himself is the correct pronunciation. Beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of Yahweh. 17th, and if children, then heirs. And if heirs of Yahweh, then join heirs with a Mashiach. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be what? Also glorified. So in his glory, we stand in his glory. And we're glorified what? Together. And the 18th verse says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings of this present time, what is that? The stuff that y'all go through? Don't y'all go through some stuff? I'm not immune to situations and stuff. I experience it. I'm his child, but I experience it, right? But, you know, in all things, I got the victory. Uh-huh. in all things, you have the victory. So the stuff and the little persecutions and, you know, I never understand when people get so upset because somebody's talking about them. People gonna say all kinds of stuff about y'all. Now, what you should be concerned about if it's true. But if it ain't true, worry about that, right? And so it says, the stuff that you gotta go through, the sufferings of this present time, are not worthy. Say they can't even compare. They're not even worthy to be compared. That means they shouldn't even be in the same sense, same category, same sentence. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory, which shall be what? Revealed in us. Tell your neighbor, can't compare to the glory that's revealed in you. It's going to be revealed. Tell your neighbor, it's going to be revealed. It's already working, right? And so when we go to the 19th verse, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. So that means we got to allow the manifestation to what? I expect it. I expect his glory. When I yield myself to him, I expect his glory to be revealed. But you got to what? You got to yield yourself. You got to say, you know what? I want your glory. Whatever you tell me to do in your word, I'm willing to do it. Whatever you say, whichever direction that you have for me, I'm willing to do it because I trust you and I love you and I know that you know the plans for me. You know what's best for me. And so when I do that, something happens. The glory begins to work. And it's moving stuff. And we talked about that. He's making the mountains low and he's making the low places high. And so we're waiting for the manifestation. 20th verse says what? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So 21 says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Yah. So that old person that you had walking up all up in you, the glory is going to be revealed. Come on now. The glory is going to be revealed. And it said, glorious liberty. What is liberty? Freedom. Who wants to be free in him? That's what I'm saying. But you got to allow, it's a beautiful process. But you got to yield yourself what? To the process. So go here. Go to Psalm. So we talked about this. We should be experiencing his glory. Amen. The problem is that we are not allowing the glory to happen around us. We have opportunities for the glory to connect with Yahweh. How can you be a believer, but you're not praying? You're not allowing, when you're praying, you're allowing his power and his glory to be manifested in that moment. There's a communication. How, you guys have relationships, right? Well, how do you have a close relationship if you're not talking? Hello, husbands and wives. Don't raise your hand or nothing, but you know what it's like when y'all not talking. And you know, it's observable. When people see you together and you ain't talking, it's demonstrated. You can see the body language. You can see that tension. Sometimes you can feel it. It's like, ooh, wait, where's the love? So I should be experiencing love. It's getting quiet, I'm sorry. I mean, you know, every now and then, you know, you should see, you know, the love. Husband and wife, it's okay to just put your arm on your wife and, you know, while you in mixed company, let everybody know that she belongs to you. And it's okay. You know, you can just say, hey, you know. What's wrong? Can't we demonstrate the love? Haven't you? Yeah, exactly. You don't have to be all stiff. No, no, no. That's my wife. It's okay. But we were talking about how you have to want to experience his glory. That means all of his attributes. Experience his love. Experience all the things that he's saying. So there should be an expectation in you. One of the places that you can experience his glory is right up in here.
Amen.
Learning how to experience his glory. Learning how to experience his presence. Learning how to yield yourself to the presence. Do you know that's where it starts, right here? Tell your neighbor it starts right here. This is the forum.
Amen.
For us to come together in unity.
Yes.
And so we were reading in Psalms or Tehillim last week where the people came to the temple with an expectation.
Hallelujah.
They had an expectation that they would be experiencing what? The glory. So they had the gates, the doors on the outside, and the people were getting ready to come in. And so they had people that were inside prepping everything. And so the people were waiting outside the doors, and they had the people inside the doors. And the people outside the doors would say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. What they were saying is that expect him to come. We've gathered together to come see him. Expect him to come. Swing open those doors, and he'll come in. Did you know that you have to swing the doors open? You got to want him to come in. Anybody ever have somebody come to their house and you didn't want them to come in? So you what? Keep the doors closed. You say, shh, go back there. Turn off the lights. You're not home. Y'all, you do it. When the Jehovah's Witness come to the door, isn't that what you do? We ain't home. Don't answer it. You tell your kids. So if you don't want something to come in, you don't what? Then what's wrong with y'all when we come here to worship and we want the King of glory to come in, but you won't open up the doors of your heart? You're not expecting anything. I don't know about you, but I can't be a believer and not experience him. He wants us to experience him. He wants us to experience the love and the praise. He wants us to experience his presence in the worship. He wants us to pour out to him, and he wants to pour on to us. He wants that to happen. And so these people came expecting. Say expecting. And so it said, they will say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And the people on the inside would answer back. They said, who is this King of glory? And then the people on the outside would say, Yahweh, strong and mighty. Yahweh, mighty in battle. Let him in. We know who he is. We know what he can do. We want to experience him. Swing the doors open and let him come in so we can experience him. They came expecting something. That's what I come. I come to church to experience him. I want to experience everything that I need. If I need to be some joy, I want to come into the gates, let them swing open, and the King of glory will provide joy. I'll just pour into him. He'll pour into me. I'm expecting to leave here different than the way I walked up in here. I'm expecting transformation. That's what you have to experience the glory yourself before the world can even see it. And if you're not experiencing the glory in your life, you are missing out on some powerful stuff up in here. And so it says, the ninth verse, and then they will say it again, lift up your ears, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And again, the people on the inside would say, what? Who is? is this King of Glory? And so then the people on the outside would say, it's Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Selah. And then the doors would swing open. And then the people would go in to worship. Amen. And so that's what we want. And the problem is that we're not, I would dare say this, are you worshiping? Are you allowing the King of Glory to come in? See, you want the benefits of the King of Glory, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. Yeah, give me this. Yeah, give me this. I got this situation. And you want him to send the hosts of heaven in your favor to dispatch the angels to do this and that. Who, that's what, that attribute of him, that name, that's what that means. He has those attributes at his disposal. But he wants you to proclaim and praise him and open up the doors so he can allow those things to happen in your life. But you're going to sit up there and ask, but you don't want to worship? What is worship? Let's look at the definition of worship. Beautiful word. Shakah. Shahat. It means to submit an homage to royalty, to Yahweh. It means just to bow down and crouch and fall, humbly beseech to reverence, to release to. The English definition of worship is to ascribe worth to something. Everything that we do as believers when we release ourselves to him is worship. When we read the word, it's worship. Amen. The way we live our lives and follow his righteousness is a worship. Say, my life is a worship. It's not just a demonstration of worship. Yes, that's what it is. And that is so rich. But just your submitting to him is worship. Anybody see The Karate Kid? Not the old one, the new one. With the Jackie Chan, I like the old one better too, but there was a scene in the new one where it was Jackie Chan and Jaden Smith. And so he kept telling him, he said, take your jacket off. Put your jacket on. Take your jacket off. Put the jacket on. He kept on saying it, and he was thinking like, what? Why? He said, just take your jacket off. Put your jacket on. Hang it up. Take it off the hanger. Put your jacket on. Take your jacket off. Hang it up. And even though little dude didn't understand, but what he was saying was that Kung Fu is everything. Everything is Kung Fu. The way you take your jacket off is Kung Fu. The way you put your jacket on is Kung Fu. The way you hang it up, the way you treat people, the way you talk, everything is Kung Fu. Now, I'm not proposing, I'm teaching Kung Fu, but I'm talking about the principle, everything is worship. Worship is how you walk. Worship is how you speak to people. Worship is how you treat people. Worship is how you address your God. Worship is how you reverence him. Worship is how you give your life and you're obedient to him. Reverence is how you're reflecting everything that he says, the attributes of love, forgiveness. Everything is flowing from you. Everything is worship. Your life is a worship. But you got to give yourself to the worship. And so, if you go to right here, Isaiah, Yeshayahu. Oh my goodness. We gotta allow the King of Glory to come in. And so, Isaiah or Yeshayahu is his Hebrew name. He saw this vision. Did you guys know that worship is going on 24/7 in the kingdom? The worship is continually happening at the throne. Okay, so why is it that we are limiting, putting limits on the worship? Oh, we just need to worship 11 o'clock to 11:30, maybe on Sunday. Did you know every day is worship? You don't need Pastor Tom and the Cathedral Voices for you to experience your worship. Tomorrow, while you at work, or while you at home, or while you on your way to work, or you laying down, you can experience worship. You can experience Him. But we're putting the limits. We always putting the limits on. I was looking at a documentary on Peg Leg Bates. He was a dancer in the 1940s. And he had his leg cut off because it was an accident at the mill. And so they put a peg prosthetic on his, but you know, they didn't have a whole lot of technology there. But what he was saying was that he came from a place where they didn't work 9 to 5. They worked from can to can't. No, I didn't think you got that. They didn't work from 9 to 5. They didn't put limits. They worked from can to can't. Meaning you keep on working until you can't work no more. You keep on doing everything that you can until you can't. And then the next day, you work from can to can't. So from can to can't, it wasn't from 9 to 5. Y'all was like, I'm off the clock. They was like, we on until we drop out, until we fall out. That's how you should be with worship. You go from can to can. You just, you keep on worshiping until you fall asleep. You keep on praising until you just rest in Him. You keep on allowing that worship to take place in your life, whether you're reading, whether you're submitting to Him, whether you're listening, you're letting that worship take place. So if we go here to the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu, first verse says what? In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw Yahweh sitting upon a throne. And He was high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. Second verse. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. That's twain is two. And so the third verse says, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, or Yahweh Sabaoth. The whole earth is full of His glory. The atmosphere of Yahweh, He had an opportunity to peer into the vision of that. And the angels were proclaiming, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh Sabaoth. The whole earth is what? Full of His glory. And it says in the fourth verse, and the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. The atmosphere of Yahweh. Then I, this is Yeshayahu. Then he said, then I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Let's stop for a second. Just beholding, having the opportunity to be in the presence of Yahweh. He was like, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. It revealed His what? His filthiness, His impurities, His ways. I will say, the more you worship, the more opportunity Yahweh has to reveal the things in you that need to be changed. Amen. The more you worship him, he'll reveal to you the things that needs to be transformed. But see, you come to him and you won't release. Brothers, we're good at this. We want to come, we come worship, but we got to be hard. Right? We got to be like Ice Cube when we come worship. We come in and we just, give me a little worship, Lanita. Just a little, something soft that we can release to, and then everybody's like, oh, that's the presence. And there's uplifted hands going on and all the things that, and then you have this dude like, then when you start feeling a little something, no, I gotta keep it. There is nothing greater to see a man go from this. Come on. Just brothers, just because you worship, yeah, you can be all that in a bag of chips, but just release to him and say, you know, I'm a bag of chips, but he's Walmart. He's a whole store. He's everything. There's somebody greater than me. And that's what he wants. He wants you to release. See, the sisters, they at a drop of a hat, they like, ay! I mean, they will walk through the doors and immediately they connect with praise. With the brothers, we gotta warm you up with two songs before we can get you broke down. But brothers, don't fight the power of Yahweh. When you walk through those doors, open your heart. Open up. Release. You ain't gotta be cool up in here. You ain't gotta be hard up in here. Hey, this is, hey, if there was any place in the whole wide world where you could just let go to him, it's right here in his house. Right here in his house. And that demonstration of power and submitting will send shockwaves. Come on. You need victory in your life? Bow down. Bow down. You got some things that need to be changed or transformed? Bow down. Release to somebody greater than you. If you were great enough to handle it, you wouldn't need Yahweh Sabaoth, the King of Glory, strong and mighty. Mighty in battle. So that's what we're talking about in the worship. So when we go here, no, let's go here real quickly. I love this. Before we go there, because I only have a few minutes. Hallelujah. Go to Luke, the chapter 9. So there is so many expressions of praise. Hallelujah. But there is this expression of praise called halal. Say halal.
Halal.
I'm going out of order, Janae, but that's cool. Halal. That just means to boast, to celebrate, to rave. And so, brother, when we come together, we're talking about who's the King of Glory? It's Yahweh, strong and mighty, right? Yahweh, mighty man. So basically, he's already told us who he is and what he can do, right? And so what we're doing is we're saying, hey, we agree with you. You are all that, right? And so when we halal or we boast, let me give you an example. So I'm doing the proclaiming of who Yahweh. I'm Yahweh, I've told you this, right? And then you're saying it back to me, right? Because I'm Yahweh, strong and mighty. And you say what? You just say what I'm saying, strong and mighty. You're strong and mighty, right? So I'm Yahweh, strong and mighty.
You're strong and mighty.
Hey, I'm mighty in battle.
You're mighty in battle.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Angels, go and handle his situation. That's right. Because we're proclaiming how great our God is, right? And so if we're sure about something, we're holla.
You can't holler about nothing that you're not sure about. See, y'all about to holler about these different teams coming together today, but you need to be hollering about how great your God is, right? That's right. That's right. That's right. That's who he is. So we got to halal. So you can't be, stop being shamed, because this is it. Go, if you go here to Luke, the 9th chapter, did you see that? Luke, the 9th chapter, and the 25th verse, Luke 9, 25. And it says, for what is a man advantaged if he can gain the whole world and lose himself or be what? Cast away. The 26th verse says what? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me. Hold up. So when you won't release and proclaim and say in worship, you're Yahweh, you're good, you're mighty, you're awesome, I praise you, I love you. Why ain't you saying that? Why you come up in here with your mouth closed and will not provide an offering of sacrifice, an offering of praise, an offering of thanksgiving, an offering about how great he is? Are you ashamed? Somebody gonna see you. I don't want to look vulnerable. Are you serious? You care what other people might think about you instead of what your God thinks about you? Isn't your God worthy of a praise? Isn't he worthy of a halal? Is he worthy of an up at the hand? He's worthy of that. We proclaim him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you. We honor you. We lift you up. Hallelujah. That's what we got to do. And it says, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me, of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come into his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. There's another word called tahila. Say tahila. And show us what that tahila is. It means to sing, to laud. It's a spontaneous new song. We didn't rehearse it. We just started singing. We just busted out in the melody. It's unprepared. It's a rehearse. But it demonstrates the unity when we come together. For instance, last week we had a little song that we had come into, and basically this is what we were saying. We were saying, it just came out of nowhere. As we behold your face, we offer praise. Remember that? To the Lord. It just came out of nowhere. As we behold your face, we offer hallelujah to the Holy One. That's spontaneous. Say it. As we behold your face, we offer, give it to him, to the Holy One. The yeah, as we behold your face, we know. Is he worthy of that? Is he worthy of that tahila? As we behold his face, we offer praise, not to man, but to him. The Holy One.
If you could just lift your voice and say, as we behold his,
as we behold your face, we are to the Holy One. Say, as we Just release it. Just release it.
We go to the Holy One.
As we